At least I knew where Kincaid had been. Getting into a position to kill both demon-taken madmen holding me down with a single freaking bullet, since anything less would have meant my certain death.
"He is nothing!"
howled Tessa.
"Tarsiel, take the hellhound! Everyone else, the girl!"
"Come on, Harry. Time to pay Kincaid back by getting the kid clear. Somehow." My right hand wasn't moving much, and my singed left arm didn't like it, but I heaved and strained and got enough of the dead Denarian off me to let me begin to squirm out from under it. Just as I was about to pull free, a silver coin rolled out from amidst the ruined tentacles that had passed for the thing's head and dropped toward my face. I jerked my head aside in a panic. The falling coin missed touching my bare flesh by a hair and bounced off the concrete floor. My left hand moved faster and smoother than I would have thought possible, snapping the coin from the air on the bounce as smoothly and nimbly as if it had been whole and healthy and not burned and scarred and covered in a leather glove. I looked between it and my numb, tingling right hand for a quarter of a second. What the hell? That was not normal. Worry about it later, Harry. I mean, sure, obviously something has happened to you, but now is not the time to get distracted. Focus. Save the girl. I jammed the cursed relic in my pocket, hoped to God my 501s didn't have a hole in them, and spun toward Ivy. I know I'm a wizard, a card-carrying member of the White Council and all. I know I'm a warden, a certified combat expert of wizard kind, a cop, a soldier, have staff, will kick ass, if you will. I thought I'd seen some real professionals in action, the top of the wizarding game. I was wrong. It wasn't that Ivy was slinging around a ton of power. She wasn't. But think about this one for a moment. What's really more impressive? A giant truck rumbling around on a great big old smoking engine? Or a little car just barely big enough to get the job done that's powered by a couple of AA batteries? 7 of them were going after Ivy with magic, and she was countering them, all of them. Magog had charged her as he had me, but she hadn't slammed him to a stop with a brick wall. She'd trapped him inside some kind of frictionless bubble, and he was spinning uselessly in circles half an inch off the floor, every motion making him spin faster. Whatever additional metaphysical mass he'd brought to the fight hadn't cramped her style much. Her arms, bobbing and weaving continuously between all the workings she had up, flicked by the field containing him every few seconds, and I swear, struck his whirling snare for no reason other than to impart an additional nausea-inducing vector to his spin. Deidre's tangle of living locks danced with purple St. Elmo's fire, lashing out in a deadly webwork, but Ivy constantly cast out a spinning cat's cradle of light, tiny, tiny threads of power that did not so much stop any of Deidre's attacks as they fouled any one of her locks with others near it, tangling them together into useless clumps, sort of an enforced bad hair day. On the opposite side of Ivy, Rosanna launched more traditional lances of flame from her open palms, much like the ones I... A savage pain went through my skull for a second, son of a bitch. But Ivy dispersed them with delicately applied wedges of air, intercepting each burst of fire far enough short of her body to prevent the bloom of heat as they died from scorching her. Though the two more physical Denarians, who strained to force their way past the barrier of snapping sparks that formed whenever they tried to get close, had far less luck. The Hellmaid's flames scorched them badly. The 6th, a wizened little thing that looked like a caricature of a woman carved from a dried tree root, seemed to be holding the end of a rope of liquid shadow that curled like a hungry serpent, darting now and then toward Ivy's head.